Sustainability is a critical issue, and on the new Sustainably Speaking podcast, we'll talk with trailblazing leaders who champion solutions to ensure a more sustainable and low-carbon future. Subscribe today and don't miss this limited episode podcast.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, October 28th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. One reason housing prices have shot up so much is that construction of new housing hasn't kept up with demand. That's due to a lot of factors, like the pandemic lockdown and supply chain shortages. But could 3D printing be a solution? The technology could offer a way to build new housing faster and cheaper. And there's a new construction project in Texas that'll help test demand. On today's show, Nicole Friedman, who covers U.S. housing for the Wall Street Journal, joins us to discuss that project and the potential impact this tech could have on America's housing options. That's after these headlines. We report exclusively that antitrust regulators are looking into Visa's relationship with big fintech companies. According to people familiar with the matter, regulators have been speaking with Square, Stripe, and PayPal about financial incentives Visa offered them and whether that potentially kept them from using other card networks or money movement technologies. The discussions are part of an existing antitrust investigation by the Department of Justice that the Journal previously reported. We also report that Federal Trade Commission staffers are looking into Facebook. Sources say the FTC is probing the disclosures in the company's research that showed the ill effects of Facebook products. Those leaked documents form the foundation of the Journal's Facebook Files investigation, which showed the company's algorithm fosters social discord, and its Instagram app can be harmful for many of its users. Senator Richard Blumenthal, who chaired the committee's hearing into Facebook, said one concern of the FTC is whether Facebook withheld information from the agency concerning its internal research. The FTC declined to comment. Facebook said it's always ready to answer questions from regulators. China's crackdown on cryptocurrencies is helping push more Bitcoin mining to the U.S. Historically, a lot of mining, where computers solve math problems to unlock new Bitcoins, took place in China, where energy costs are low. But our markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff says many miners are finding the U.S. to be a more stable home base.
If Congress was going to introduce a bill that said, you know, all of the cryptocurrency miners, all the Bitcoin miners need to get out of America, you know, there's a process and various hearings and committees and votes that it has to go through. No one is quite going to be blindsided by that. And so part of the thinking is that from a regulatory standpoint, despite there being scrutiny from the SEC and, you know, state legislatures in some cases on cryptocurrencies and even Bitcoin mining, you have more consistent legal framework in the U.S. And so that plus relatively cheap energy in parts of the country kind of lured people.
And rental car company Hertz is partnering with Uber in a deal to offer 50,000 Teslas to rideshare drivers starting in November. Our automotive reporter Nora Naughton says the move indicates a broader shift in the attitudes toward electric vehicles.
It's a big deal because there's a difference between people, you know, early adopters buying an electric car and making that part of their life and having an electric car on the rental lot. I mean, one of the things that has really been a barrier to electric vehicle adoption is things like range anxiety and charging infrastructure. So this is a signal that Hertz, which relies on being a, you know, reliable form of transportation, Hertz feels that they can offer that with an electric car.
To hear more from Nora, check out yesterday's PM edition of our sister podcast, What's News. All right, coming up, could a 15-foot tall printer be the solution to America's housing shortage? We'll discuss after the break.
Fixed income markets have evolved, but most benchmarks haven't. At Janus Henderson, our forward-thinking framework aims to reconstruct past approaches to fixed income by focusing on multiple investor objectives. Learn more at janushenderson.com. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal and fluctuation of value.
The The technology for 3D printing has developed considerably over the last few years. It's being used to make medical equipment, produce art, and even build houses. Now a major home builder, Lennar, is teaming up with a Texas startup called Icon to create an entire community of 3D printed homes outside of Austin. The 100-home project, set to start next year, would be by far the biggest development of this type in the U.S. So could this be the future of housing? Joining us to discuss is our housing reporter, Nicole Friedman. Thanks for joining us, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
Can you describe how this works? What does it look like when a 3D printed house is built?
So the 3D printer is used to print out the wall system. So it's a one-story house, and the 3D printer prints the external and internal walls. And it basically squeezes concrete out of a nozzle. Like you can think of toothpaste coming out of a tube or like icing being piped onto a cake. And then it kind of just goes back and forth and prints out layers of concrete on top of each other. And the printers are about 15 and a half feet tall. So they're really enormous.
So that's a much larger printer than the one I have sitting next to my desk.
Yes, definitely.
You know, when it comes to living in these houses, though, are they different from, say, a conventionally built house?
So most houses that are built in the United States are framed in wood, and these houses are framed in concrete. So that's not entirely new. There definitely are a lot of concrete houses in the U.S., especially in places that are prone to hurricanes, like in parts of the Southeast. And so for someone who's familiar with a concrete house, it might not seem as different. And some of the differences between concrete and wood, concrete is a little bit more resilient to natural disasters. It's also not as prone to mold or termites. But definitely aesthetically, these houses do look a little bit different, that because of the layers in the printing, there are kind of ridges on the outside of the building, these horizontal ridges, and also on some of the interior walls as well.
Why are these companies, Lennar and Icon, doing this? Why are they building 100 3D printed houses?
So Icon is the company behind this 3D printing technology. So they've created the printer and they have built houses before, but on a much smaller scale. They just recently built 4 houses in Austin, Texas. They've built about 10 houses in Mexico. So for Icon, this is really a chance to kind of scale up and show that they can use this technology on potentially a much bigger scale. And then Lennar, on the other hand, is one of the biggest home builders in the United States. They build many thousands of homes a year. So for them, 100 homes is not very many. It's a small project for Lennar, but it's also kind of a proof of concept to see, you know, how does this technology work and how could it maybe be more broadly incorporated into the home building process? And Lennar, like many home builders, struggles with shortages of labor, and they have difficulty finding enough construction workers. And so using an automated process on site to replace some of the work that's done by tradespeople is appealing to home builders if this technology proves to be reliable on a big scale.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, because I think there are maybe some benefits that a lot of builders are seeing to using this kind of technology as opposed to traditional technology.
So labor has been a really big struggle for the construction industry for several years now, finding enough people who want to work in the construction trades. And a lot of these jobs are skilled jobs. And so it can take some time in terms of apprenticeship and getting people trained. And there's just not enough people who kind of come out of high school wanting to work in the construction field to match the demand for home building right now. And so this particular process that Icon and Lennar are working on together, Icon's printers would print the wall system, the external and interior walls, but then Lennar would kind of come in after that and work with the tradespeople that it traditionally works with to build out the rest of the house. So the roofing, the windows, things like that would still be done in the conventional way. So really the 3D printing process is replacing kind of the framers and the drywall workers on site, which is about 6 to 12 workers, and instead there would be about 3 people involved in the 3D printing activity.
What about the supply chain? I feel like every time I talk to somebody trying to do construction on their home or hoping to build a new home, all I hear about are their supply chain issues.
Yeah, that's a huge issue in the home building industry right now are material backlogs, supply chain issues. They have trouble getting appliances. They have trouble getting garage doors. They have trouble getting windows, all sorts of materials and parts of the process. They're seeing backlogs. And so there's definitely an appeal to something like this that allows a part of the process to be done First of all, with less waste, that there is not as much waste in the 3D printing process as in traditional wood framing. So less material would be discarded, but also just to have it be kind of one fluid process as opposed to having to involve lots of different trade groups along the way, which can lead to loss of efficiency and also lots of different materials that are needed.
I mean, there is a housing shortage at the moment. A lot of Americans are looking for new homes. They can't find them. Is this going to help solve the problem at all?
So far, this is maybe a drop in the bucket, that the housing shortage is pretty enormous right now. Depending on who you ask, people have different estimates. Some say we're 1 million homes short. Some say we're more than 5 million homes short of demand. And there are millions of houses bought and sold every year. And this is a 100 home community. And so this is really fascinating to watch in terms of how this technology can be applied, whether there are ways that this can then be expanded more broadly. But right now, this is not, you know, overnight going to fix the national housing shortage.
And are there other companies that are also piloting similar programs, trying out things on this kind of scale?
There are other 3D printing companies. There's lots of activity in this field. This project with ICON and Lennar is going to be the biggest so far. So 100 home community is a big step forward in terms of the number of 3D printed homes. There's another 3D printed company, Mighty Buildings, that has announced it's building a community of 15 homes in California, though they said that might grow. So there are other initiatives, and it's something that we're watching really closely. But for now, this is set up to be the biggest.
So more 3D printed homes on the way, but we can't all live in them yet. That's our reporter, Nicole Friedman. Thanks for joining us, Nicole.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But before we go, a reminder that we're opening our phone lines for your questions about the Facebook Files series. What do you want to know about the investigation, the future of Facebook, or combating its effects in your own life? We'll have a member of the Facebook Files investigative team on the show to answer them. Leave us a voicemail at 314-635-0388. We might include your question or story in an upcoming episode. Again, that's 314-635-0388. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.